Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode, another podcast, another YouTube video of Mental Matters. I am Kimberly, I'm with Psyche, and as usual, I am joined by the beautiful Kopano.
Hi Kim, how are you?
Hi Kopano. I am good, thank you. How are you doing?
You know, I mean, we just started a new semester, so I am all the motivations, but it's because we are inside, we're ready, we're committed to this new semester, so I'm okay.
Yeah, and I think I'm just really excited that, like, now we kind of know what to expect with e-learning, so I'm hoping that this semester I will feel more on top of things.
True.
But let's not be rude.
It's okay, you've got it.
Let's introduce our really awesome special guest today. That's Ms. Nkateko Ndala-Makgoro. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm just going to quickly introduce her. She has more than 10 years experience in the field of psychology, in corporate environments, in various organizations, in students' environments and cultures, where she has gained immeasurable insights into the dynamics of human behavior. As a registered therapist with a master's degree in counseling psychology, she is currently an academic at the University of Pretoria, where she is involved in teaching and research with undergraduate and postgraduate students. On top of that, she has produced numerous technical reports with numerous publications in academic journals in sub-Saharan Africa, and her most recent published work features an international academic resource which was published under Information Age Publishing at the University of Mexico. Again, we're in the presence of greatness. Thank you so, so much for joining us today. Nkateko Ndala-Makgoro.
Thank you for having me as I remove this beanie from my from the background. That's what happens when you on the camera. So I'm to keep the camera off because I don't think the listener needs to see me. I'm introducing myself. Here I am. just hear me, more than enough just to hear my voice, and my voice is just as wonderful as my face.
We can't argue with the facts.
Absolutely agree. definitely without a doubt, like.
But I think before we get into our topic, as usual, Ms. Nkateko, what we've been asking all of our special guests is to start us off by just telling us, how are you feeling today? Where are you at?
I was actually sharing with one of my mentees that who was asking, how am I? The whole family is good. They're intact. Actually, I had to close the windows because they are in a very jovial mood and their voices will have come across and overtaken this whole session. You will have most probably concentrated on their jovial conversations over there more than my voice. So I had to do that just to tone that down. To tone their mood down. I'm not sure what spiced their mood in the way they did, but as an individual, not in such a good space, but I am also myself just like anybody else, taking it step by step, one day at a time.
We're glad that even though but you're taking it one step at a time. Also, before we go further, I just wanted to say Happy Women's Month to the beautiful ladies that are with me. It's always a pleasure. Happy Women's
Month to you too. And also, we are, you know, discussing very important issues related to women this month in our YouTube channel, especially relating to gender-based violence in the context of COVID-19, because we COVID-19 has also highlighted the scourge of gender-based violence, especially in the first stages of the lockdown. Yeah. So happy month to you.
Thank you. I think we'll just go straight into it, Kim, if you are okay with that.
100%.
I think As you say, so we came into this lockdown. Last week, we found out that mental health, as COVID-19 increased or like decreased. But one of the biggest, like, you know, mental health problems that we have are anxiety. But sometimes we don't really know how to differentiate between just like worrying about something and actually being anxious about something. So could you please, you know, just explain to us what counts and what is it between anxiety
that's
and
like
just worrying about something?
I mean, be it worry, be it sadness, and just like with anything, if something it comes in the way of you being productive, you being you know, doing something well, then we then say it's a mental health illness. So I'm giving an example with sadness. So you can be sad but not necessarily be depressed, because the sadness is a feeling where you can still go with your day-to-day activities, you can be able to still concentrate in yourself. It's not severe. So it's about the severity of what is happening to you and how often is it occurring. So versus anxiety, it will be marked by, are you worrying all the time? It's not necessarily just worrying about one one instance. So you will be worrying across things. So you are worried about the health. You are worried about contracting coronavirus. You are worrying about your exams. You are worried about getting better. You are worried about the sun. You are worried about the economy. So then we say you are an anxious person. That's when we will say that is anxiety. And as I said, also the frequency in which it happens, so, and also the intensity in which it happens. That's the difference between the worry and the anxiety. What is it? Is it general? Is it in general? Is it in one instance or is it in many instances? So maybe if I'm thinking my children right now and I'm paranoid about their safety, I across the board paranoid about a lot of things. I'm paranoid about germs. I'm paranoid about, you know, people just looking at me. I'm paranoid about me getting into a car. So now we take it, it's across things instead of it in a specific, some days, why am I worrying about the children's safety? Then it's across things. And as I said, the frequency in which it happens, and then the also the intensity it happens, it will then give us that differentiation that this is no longer just worrying in general, but then it's an anxiety disorder.
If I can just ask, Ms. Nkateko, what is actually happening to our body then when we are anxious? You know, I've heard a lot of people speak about panic attacks as well. What is actually happening physiologically to us when we undergo that?
And one of the indicators, and it's a good question that you're asking, Kim, one of the indicators is that losing breath. And you will hear a lot of people who are in a panic attack. So symptoms of anxiety, it's not necessarily the anxiety itself. It's what happens to you when you are anxious. So other people, it attacks them in that way. And other people, let's say if somebody has got OCD, then they will have compulsions, you know, that they obsess, be it washing of hands, be it counting. So these are different symptoms that we see when people are anxious. And we also have, within the anxiety disorders, we've got different anxieties. So in a panic attack, what usually people will explain, an occurrence that feels like they are about to die. So they lose their breath, their chest closes up, they've got a lump on their throat as if air cannot pass, as if it's very painful when air passes. I had a client who was in hospital, COVID-19 patient, about 2 weeks ago, and she was saying when she was breathing, it felt like there was something literally on her throat, but her COVID-19 was very much mixed in with anxiety, and that is why I had to consult with her while she was in hospital, obviously online because she's, you know, being isolated. But anxiety, not necessarily by the positive results of being COVID positive because the medication. But her anxiety got the better of her, where she could not cope with the diagnosis very well. So those are some of the things that people will express. They will express things like, you know, sweat palms, a sweaty brow, you know, dilated pupils, acute hearing, dryness of the mouth, you know, where a person feels like they are on some sort of very strong medication where their mouth is dry all the time and they needing to drink, and the shakes as well, you know, heart pounding, stomach almost like they are getting sick to the pit of their stomach, just the sickening feeling that they get. So those are some of the physiological symptoms. And that is why whenever I give tips to people who are who've got anxiety disorders, the first thing that I give as a tip, people take for granted breathing. And I know I'm getting into tips of how to cope with this, but it's fine. Let's let the conversation slide. Flow nicely. So those are some of the things that I will say to somebody who's anxious. I will say, we take for granted, we think that we are breathing while we actually just, let me just switch on my video so that I can just demonstrate what we usually do. So we usually in this mode most of the time, we're not necessarily breathing. And, you know, I take my clients through breathing exercise to demonstrate the proper breathing in helping them to fill the bloodstream with oxygen, because we, you know, cortisol has got a place in our bodies. It helps regulate the stress. But then in excess, it then works against us physiologically and psychologically. It works against us when it's just too much in our bloodstream. And that's what excessive stressing and excessive anxiety, which normally people cannot help. And that is why we say it's a diagnosable pathology or disorder, a mental health disorder, because people sometimes they cannot help but be worried and be anxious until we give them those clues or we unpack what makes them to be anxious, such as now in the COVID context, we understand why people are worried. That is why we're not judgmental to say, you know, get over it or why are you so anxious. We understand why people are anxious. So those are one of that will help to for a person, because what it does when we are in anxious and when we're having that anxiety attack, it's either a flee, a fight, or a freeze response. So we are, in a way, by taking in deep breath, we are fooling the brain in thinking that there is no harm, that the threat is gone, and therefore we get back to the rational way of being.
Oh, wow. I think that, like, sort of feeling your brain is very interesting to me, because, you know, oftentimes we neglect that we are. What happens? Okay, so now we are in the second semester of our year. Well, UP is starting with the second semester of the year. Yeah, and we all know this is way more trickier. I've found it to be in my little 4 years here to be more challenging, more stressful because of that, and now it's like even shorter. And we're already feeling overwhelmed. How do we, you know, deal with this feeling of like being overwhelmed from like the get-go of this?
For sure. And I think you have had me, Kopano, earlier on when Kim asked me, how am I doing? I said, I'm not so great, but then I'm taking it day by day. I think that is the mistake that often people make in being overwhelmed by wanting to take it on or by thinking about everything all at the same time. And that makes the situation even worse. And by the way, it worsens it by this, and which it you know, it's a paradox. So now you are overwhelmed. You want to do everything or everything that you can get your hands to or your brain into or your eyes into or, you know, your body into. And then you are stressed more. what that does is it immobilizes you, it paralyzes you. So in your paralysis, then you pause. In your paralysis, as you pause, what happens? Work does not go away. It piles up. What happens when you see that work is piling up? You panic more because work is not going away. But then by taking one step at a time, you make ticks, and whatever you were not able to get to, you look at it. Is it a priority? Is it not a priority? If it's not a priority, if it does not have a deadline, I will give an example. Yesterday, I had a couple of clients, but I did not get to all of them. Were they all priorities? No. Monday return with Pretoria Psychologist was priority because it's got to be aired on a Monday. For I focused on that once I saw that it was already 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m. That's what I finished off with in exhaustion. And then I thought the other things, some things, are, the deadline is the 5th, which is in 2 days' time. How do I then balance that? I looked at today to-do list. Can I fit it in? Not with discussions like this. I was in in feedback in the morning. I'm in another meeting later. Then the key need my attention. Most probably it's not going to be done today. But then can I slot it in tomorrow? Sure, we can slot it in until the deadline comes. So that's then you tackle everything. You give them priorities. You give them according to your abilities, your strength, your energy levels. Your energy also will. Sometimes students will say, you know, I'm unable to write my dissertation. I'm unable to read. I'm unable to study. And I will say, I want you to read even if it's two paragraphs. Even if it is two paragraphs, accumulatively, it's going to be 5 pages by the time you finish at the end. If you don't have energy, if you cannot get into it. But then there will be days where the two paragraphs is not two paragraphs because you've got energy. Maybe you have let go of, I'm not eating chocolate this week. I'm not eating chocolate this week. I'm not eating chocolate this week. And then you decide you're going to eat it on Thursday, and then you've got energy for days because you have given your soul what it wanted. And then you've got energy and you might be able to cover the whole chapter on the day and use the energy of the day to be able to accomplish what you could not accomplish in the days where you were not motivated. So again, it's that whole thing. How do you eat an elephant? One bite size at a time. And actually it does work. You cannot take on everything at the same time, especially in an overwhelming situation, in an overwhelming environment, because it's just going to make you feel even more worthless, to feel more unmotivated, to feel you are doing something that is little towards just writing off that to-do list.
Yeah, that is 100% true. Like everything you just said, I saw myself being myself doing exactly what you're talking about this semester. So I think I'll definitely try that in terms of the one paragraph, even if it's just one paragraph that day, that's fine. But I just want to jump back a little bit to the strategies that you spoke about in terms of how we keep the anxiety in check, you know, and how we ensure that we are not feeling overwhelmed. So you mentioned breathing, for instance. Can you tell us, you know, I did watch a YouTube video where you were speaking about this, and I just found it so, so interesting. I realized basically I've been breathing wrong all my life. So could you please teach us and the listeners how to breathe properly?
Okay. All right, I was going to talk about the other tips, but then maybe let me finish with that. Let me finish with how do we do that. But I want to talk about other tips that can help us with anxiety. So we talked about taking things one step at a time. We talked about breathing. I also, as much as I'm a believer in doing, in just being in a moment, and just rolling. It's where you don't have strength and it's okay to let it go. It's okay to write a paper. And I'm saying this as your lecturer who runs 80% and 70% and 90%, but sometimes it's okay to click submit on what it's a mediocre paper. It is fine. I'm not promoting a substandard or mediocre lifestyle, not at all, or else I will not be where I am right now. But I'm saying that at times it is possible that circumstances are so far and beyond your control that you don't have strength left to be able to fight, to be able to fight for that distinction, to be able to fight to produce that paper. Sometimes it's okay to click submit. And by the way, you'll be surprised. I've got lots of clients where I say that and, you know, they want to cringe. They want to cry because this is not their standard. And some of them will come back and say, you remember that paper? Actually got four. You know, I thought it's a fail or it's like a 49 or a 48 or a 50. But I surprised myself. So then if now you had put all of the effort together, you will have gotten in the 90s or in the high 80s. So sometimes it is okay to let it go. Sometimes things are out of our control. Things that are out of our control, we need to surrender them. We need to surrender them to God in prayer. In recognizing that are beyond us, that we cannot really be in control of. Things that we are in control of, as I said, you take them step by step. You do them little by little. You don't do all of them all at once. People think that sleeping is relaxing. Sleeping is not relaxing. I am saying this on record. By the way, your brain works much more when you are sleeping than when you are not. It's consolidating everything that you have learned, everything that you have observed. That is why we dream, because it's making sense of things. So your brain is at the most active. Yes, your body is resting, it's dormant, but your brain is working extra hard. That is why we talk about relaxation techniques. And those relaxation techniques are different for different people. For other people, it might be escapism. And escapism, I'm not talking about toxic escapism or non-constructive escapism, such as taking illicit drugs or, you know, alcohol. That is a way of escaping, but not it's harmful. So ways in which you can escape outside your adult life. If you think adulting is a trap, wait until you are right now. You know, so that, you know, escaping a little bit into the fantasy world that is safe, it's not infringing on any body's human right, you know, be it series binging. You know, for me, it was decadent chocolate brownies, and my kids came to ask me and say, where are the brownies? And I said, I shared them with your dad, and I was lying. It was all me. So that was, you know, that was, so that is also, that is a form of escape. And I was also about to write on my status, hello, I'm Kateko, and my drug of choice is sugar. So those are some of the ways in which, as I said, as long as it's not, sorry about that. As long as it's not infringing on somebody's human right, it's fine to switch off like that. Walks are wonderful. Exercising, it's something that is wonderful. Yes, I know it is hard for most people. You know, it's daunting for most people to say, where do I even start? Once you start, you know the benefits of it. You feel so good because, firstly, in exercising, you're not only putting in positive, but you're also releasing endorphins. Remember, we talked about cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Here, the endorphins are feel-good hormones. It's the same as those four slabs of brownie, that heavy three chocolate decadent brownie. It's more or less just the same. Obviously, it takes effort, but then that effort, it's also contributing to your well-being as well. And then spend time for that, loving and supportive towards you. not spending time with toxic people, but spending time with a support system, be it that video call, that silly chat, you know, looking at jokes or watching comedy, reading that, have a book that you've been putting on the show because, you know, you're looking at the academics and you are pushing assignments and stuff. But hey, there's a feel-good or a light book that you've been putting on the shelf. Take it and let it take you somewhere. That's also one form of escapism. It's by reading, because then you just create this whole story and you create your own characters in terms of how they look like, what they speak, and, you know, what kind of living do they live. So it's also one of those escapism. That you can some of the tips that I can share with you before then I demonstrate the relaxation techniques. So I'm going to just take a sip of water and then switch the camera. Okay. So in terms of, as I already mentioned earlier on, is that most people do not breathe properly. So you need and taking enough air that it will be able to last you as you exhale out slowly to the count of zero. We breathe in through your nose, and then you hold for three, and out, and to a count of six. So I'm going to be counting as you do it. Breathe in through your nose, one, two, and hold, and then out, one, two, three, four, five, six. So for you to know that you have taken enough breath, you should be able to hold your breathing out throughout. So in again, in through your nose, one, two, three, and out through your mouth. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yes. So not be running out of breath. And then also what you do, and you find that sometimes it happens automatically, but you can also drop your shoulders, and that you will see that it makes you feel quite relaxed. By dropping your shoulders down and feeling warmth of in through your nose and out through your mouth. One, two, three, four, five, six. And you don't even need to wait for moments like this where you have time and you are sitting down and you are looking at yourself in the mirror or anything like that. You can even be doing it while standing in a queue, while you are, you know, on a hard phone call. You know, some phone calls are not easy phone calls, and maybe I'm speaking for myself because that is one of the things that I hate the most. It's a phone call. You know, making something to eat and so on. So you can be practicing to breathe so that it becomes part of your lifestyle to breathe deeply.
Wow. I feel more relaxed already. I love it. So I just wanted to a little diverge, you know, of our conversation and just ask what happens, because you spoke about the people that surround us. So surrounding yourself with positive people, people that are not toxic for you. If, let's say, your parents don't, you know, understand the concept of anxiety. I know, especially people of color, health is still of a murky waters. You know, people don't necessarily understand, and people's parents, most importantly, to understand. So, you know, if you were at res, you would know, like, okay, this is how I handle my anxiety, this is what I do, this is what I do. Or, you know, in, for example, Pretoria. But now that you're home and you're schooling from home, it's a whole completely, you know, different situation where it's like, okay, now I'm trying to handle being at home and also school, and also now sort of explaining or like get my parents to understand what it means when I'm anxious. How do you sort of navigate that?
Sure, and it is hard, especially when you're saying, you know, you tell them and you're being judged, or you are afraid to tell them because you're afraid to be judged, which I will not tell in such an environment because it will make you feel worse, you know, be it with friends or family or, you know, somebody that you think you trust. I will not tell where you are not supported fully. As UP students, your student support is open fully, and there are psychologists that are available for you online, such as what we're doing right now with video conferencing or voice on a telephone or WhatsApp, you know, so there is help out there for you. So you don't need to be speaking to people who are immediately with you. Although, yes, it would have been fantastic to be supported by them because they're with you more than you'll be talking to over the phone or over WhatsApp or Blackboard Collaborate and so on. So what I'm saying is that help is there. UP students functional, it's open. You can make an appointment and you will be seen by a psychologist.
Well, thank you so much, ma'am. I think that was a brilliant question, Kopano. And, you know, I think, like you said, ma'am, it would be great if our immediate support systems could be on board and we could feel safe enough to share all of those things. But like you said, sometimes we have to deal with the reality of the situation we're in and try to make the best of it. So I think you really brought up a really good point there. Just for the sake of time, I think we're going to have to cut it here, but we really are looking forward to having you back on this platform with us on mental matters, possibly on a different topic where we can also explore the mental health related issues in that aspect. Let me just check in with Kopano. Kopano, do you have any questions that we can quickly ask Ms. Ndala Mahoro? Okay, I think my network cut out there. That's fine. But I think, yeah, on behalf of myself.
I'm a human now, a little baby, so I'm good.
There we go. No, that's perfect. Ma'am, thank you so much for joining us. We are so, so appreciative of everything that you've taught us today, everything that you've answered in terms of our questions. And like I'm saying, we're just really looking forward to having you back on. And yeah, I think from me, from Kim, Psyche, thank you so much. And Kopano, Tax FM.
From Kopano from Tax FM.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Episode of Mental Matters. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.